Okay. So today's share, we are moving on now to the Gemara here on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. One last sugi here about the walls of the sukkah. Right, Vav Amud Beis through Zayin Amud Beis is all about the walls of the sukkah. So this is our last big sugi here on the walls of the sukkah. And then Emirat Hashem, I don't think anyone wants to do any more math than necessary in the schooling system. So we're going to skip Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, Ches Amud Aleph with the circle Gemara. Whatever, pi r squared, whatever, all that stuff. So we're going to skip that and go to Ches Amud Beis, Mitzvah Hashem next week. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we're moving along here. Okay, so our Gemara here on Zayin Amud Beis starts off commenting on our Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph tells us that one of the requirements in the Sukkah is that it cannot be Chamasa Meruba Mitzilasa, that you can't have more sun than shade getting into the Sukkah. Rather, the sukkah has to be tilasa meruba mechamasa. You have to have more shade than sun. That was the basic halacha in our Mishnah. And the Gemara here brings a little bit of a funny braisa, where it asks the question as to which component of the sukkah is the Mishnah referring to. When the Mishnah said that a sukkah cannot be chamasa meruba mitzilasa, that we have to have more sun, more shade than sun, so which part of the sukkah was the Mishnah referring to? So this is a machlokes tanaim between the Chachamim, or the Tanakama, versus Rabbi Yoshia. Starting with the Shita of the Tanakama. So the Tanakama says, as you would expect, that the Mishnah is referring to the Schach, that the Schach of the Sukkah cannot be sparse to the point of being Chamasa Meruba Mitzilasa, so thin, you know, thinned out that the sun gets through. Rather, it has to be Tzilasa Meruba Mechamasa. That is how the Tanakama interprets the Mishnah, very understandably so. But the Braisa then brings Rabbi Yoshia, who argues and says that no, actually, the Mishnah is not only referring to the schach of the sukkah, the Mishnah is also referring to the walls of the sukkah. According to Rabbi Yoshia, there's a new regulation in the walls of the sukkah that the walls of the sukkah need to screen the sun. They need to be tzilasa and meruba mechamasa. They have to provide more shade than sunlight. The walls of the sukkah cannot be chamasa and meruba mitzilasa. They cannot let more sun in than shade. That is Rabbi Yoshia's interpretation of the Mishnah. And the Gemara brings the Gezeirah Sakasav as the makor for Rabbi Yoshia. Where does Rabbi Yoshia get this idea from, that the walls of the sukkah have to screen the sun? Isn't that what the schach is supposed to do? Why are the walls screening the sun? So the Gemara brings a drasha from the parochas. We know that the parochas in the Mishkan was a type of mechitza. It's separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yet the Torah uses the term visakosa with reference to the parochas, a term of schach, visakosa. The parochas is like a schach. And so Rabbi Yoshia darshans from here that just like schach is supposed to screen the sun, so too a mechitza, the parochas, a mechitza is supposed to function like schach, is supposed to screen the sun, and therefore the walls of the sukkah, which are a mechitza, need to screen the sun. That's the makor for the shita of Rabbi Yoshia. So this is the basic halacha here that we're bringing out of the Gemara in Zayin Amud Beis, this new shita of Rabbi Yoshia, a new regulation in terms of the walls of the sukkah. According to Rabbi Yoshia, the walls of the sukkah have to screen the sun. They cannot be chamasa meruba mitzilasa. Now, just one last detail to finish off the basic shak levitari, the basic pashup shot in Rabbi Yoshia Shita, and that is from Tosus and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. See, you could ask just the basic pashup shot question on Rabbi Yoshia, which is, what does it mean to require the walls of the sukkah to screen the sun? What does it mean to require the walls of the sukkah to provide shade when, as we've been discussing all along, we know you only need 2.5 walls in your sukkah. You need 2 regular walls, a tapach on the third side. Everything else is wide open. The fourth side is open. The third side has a big breach in it. So there's going to be tons of sunlight beaming in through the fourth side, through the third side. What does it mean to require the walls of the sukkah to screen the sun? So Tosas and Zayin Amud Aleph just clarifies for us that Rabbi Yoshia's halacha is really just a requirement in the structuring of those 2.5 walls. It's true. The sun's going to get in through the fourth side. The sun's going to get in through the third side. You might want to get an air conditioning in your sukkah if you can. I was once in a very high-class sukkah that had air conditioning in it. But in terms of Rabbi Yoshia's halacha, it's about the structuring of the first 2.5 walls. That Rabbi Yoshia's halacha is that the first 2.5 walls need to be structured in a way where you fill in those two expanses with wall, where you don't have gaps. And that's how Rabbi Yoshia's halacha plays out, that those 2.5 walls can't have gaps in them and allow the sun through. And Tosus even says it's even going to disallow Lavud. Although we've been talking about Lavud all the time, that Lavud connects things, Lavud works, you can build your whole sukkah out of Lavud. Not according to Rabbi Yoshia. Because although Lavud does create valid walls, but the reality is that as much as we like to pretend like Lavud is creating a real wall, there's going to be tons of sunlight getting through the Lavud walls, and therefore according to Rabbi Yoshia, those 2.5 walls cannot have too much lavud in them. So that concludes just the basic presentation of the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia, this new regulation. The walls of the sukkah have to screen the sun. And we're pointing out from Tosos that although practically the sunlight's getting through the fourth side and the third side, that's not a problem. Rabbi Yoshia's halacha is about structuring the first two walls. The first 2.5 walls need to be structured in a way where they don't even use lavud, where they don't have gaps in them, where they're screening out the sun. So that's the basic halacha now of Rabbi Yoshia. We good so far with the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara? Okay. You never know which screen I'm looking at, whose head nod, you know, makes me feel comfortable to go weiter. Okay. Now, the basic question we have to ask ourselves in starting to break down this sugya is what's the nature of this requirement of Rabbi Yoshia? Rabbi Yoshia, who's telling us that the walls of sukkah need to screen the sun, so what's the conceptual basis for this requirement? Where is it coming from? Where is this requirement to have the walls screen the sun coming from on a conceptual level? That's the basic issue we have to ask as we start to break down the sugya step by step. So if you saw the Rishonim from the Mar Makomos, it's very much mashma that there's a basic machlokas Rishonim on this issue between the Rav Yah and the Mashmos of Tosfos on the one hand versus the Ran on the other hand. Two basic approaches. What is the nature of this halacha of Rabbi Yoshia for the walls to screen the sun? Rav Yah and Tosfos on the one hand versus the Ran on the second hand. So let's start with approach number one. Now, I'm just going to spell out what the words of the Rav Yah and Tosfos are, and let's see if someone here could just step in and extract the conception that comes out of these shitas. It's not a big lum this year, but I just want you to learn how to extract concepts from the Rishonim. So I'm going to say over what these Rishonim say, and let's see if someone could just step in and extract the basic principle from these Rishonim. These Rishonim bring up an issue, which we're going to discuss in the second part of today's year. But just to spell out the issue they bring up, there's a basic diuk from the issue that they bring up. The Rav Yah and Tosfos bring up the issue that now that Rabbi Yoshia is telling us that the walls of the sukkah need to screen the sun, that they need to provide shade, so perhaps Rabbi Yoshia should hold that the walls of the sukkah should also now have to be made out of the same material that schach has to be made out of. We know that the schach of our sukkah on top of our heads in the sukkah cannot be made out of any materials. There are certain specific requirements. The Mishnah on Yud Aleph and Aleph tells us three different requirements for what the schach can be made out of, like it can't be mekabel tumah, etc. So these are showing to bring up the fact that now that Rabbi Yoshia is telling me that the walls have to screen the sun, so perhaps Rabbi Yoshia should also hold that the walls have to be made out of material that's kosher for schach. That's the issue that they bring up. And as I said, we're going to analyze this issue in the second part of today's shir. But what's the basic diuk that we can make in the Rishonim? What? How can we extract from the Rishonim? How are they understanding the Shita Rabbi Yoshia on a conceptual level from the fact that they're bringing up this issue? Not a big lum this, but I just want to teach you how to extract the principle from the Rishonim. Yeah.
The walls are just like the schach. They have the same exact halachos.
Yeah. So, yes. I mean, one half a step further, but exactly as Yehuda just said, what these Rishonim are holding is a very wild idea, and that is that the walls of the sukkah, according to Rabbi Yoshia, have the status of schach, right? If they're suggesting that the walls should have the dinei schach, so we see that they understood that the walls of the sukkah had the status of schach. That aside from the fact that the roofing of the sukkah is schach, but the walls of the sukkah have the status of schach. They're understanding that that's why Rabbi Yoshia needs the walls to screen the sun. Why do the walls have to provide shade? Because the walls have the status of schach. That's how they're understanding Rabbi Yoshia's halacha. Well, if that's how they're learning Rabbi Yoshia, now we understand the issue that they're bringing up. If you're telling me that the walls have the status of schach, well then, aside from the need to provide shade, maybe we should subject the walls to the other regulations of the schach. Maybe the walls should have to be made out of the same materials that schach had to be made out of. So that's the basic concept that we're extracting from the Rishonim. Not a big step, as Yehuda pointed out. Yehuda said it very beautifully, but I just want to teach you how to extract a principle. That's the principle we see from these Rishonim. Okay, so that's approach number one. We're good so far? You see how we took that out of the Rishonim? Yeah.
I don't think it's much of a question. It's probably not such a good question, but
Elliot, if you're asking it, I'm sure it's a great kasha.
I was just wondering why is it that the Rav Yah Dafka chooses being mekabel tumah as opposed to choosing listing all the different dinim that we have by schach that like it can't be attached to the ground. Like why is it he just chooses one?
Okay, that's an interesting question. I'll be honest, I don't really know. He gives one example, and then he says like a general statement, not mekabel tumah, and the other things that were makbid on about the schach. So it's a good question why he singles this one out. I'm not really sure. Good question. Very good question. I guess that's really a Mishnah Yud Aleph Min Aleph issue about the different regulations in the Schach. Perhaps some of them are more primary than others, but a good point. Good deal. Okay, so let's go over now to the second approach in the Rishonim, which is the Shita of the Ran. If you're Medayik, the Ran's presentation is explanation of Rabbi Yoshia, so it's Mashra from the Ran that he had a different conception of Shita's Rabbi Yoshia. And this is really based on the next piece of Gemara here on Zayin Amud Beis. So let's just speak out the next piece of Gemara here in Zayin Amud Beis, which is going to set up this approach of the Ran for Rabbi Yoshia. As we've discussed a number of times already in this Man, so there's this ongoing debate in the Gemara as to if a sukkah is a diras keva or if a sukkah is a diras arai. Do we conceive of a sukkah as this permanent structure, this diras keva? Do we conceive of it as a flimsy temporary structure, a diras arai? And this played out in a number of different issues in the Masechta so far. We had the maximum height, we had the minimum area. These different issues on the structuring of the sukkah are rooted in this broad machlokus about whether the sukkah is a diras keva or a sukkah is a diras arai. Now, in the next piece of Gemara here in Zayin Amud Beis, so Abaye does us the favor of listing all the Tanoim throughout the Masechta that hold that a sukkah is a diras keva. Because in different contexts, different Tanoim set down various regulations try to build the sukkah, which Abaye points out is based on the fact that a sukkah is a diras keva. That's what Abaye does for us here in the next piece of Gemara on Zayin Amud Beis. And what's important for us is that Abaye includes Rabbi Yoshia on his list. Abaye says that you know who holds that a sukkah is a diras keva? Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia's halacha, that you can't have more chama than shade getting into the sukkah, is based on the fact, is rooted in the fact that a sukkah is a diras keva, it's a permanent structure. That is what Abaye says in the next piece of Gemara here on Zayin Amud Beis. And based on that, so the Ran gives us a second alternative approach to how to understand the concept behind the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia. And that is the Ran says that Rabbi Yoshia's halacha, that the walls need to provide shade, they can't have too much sunlight getting in, is really just based on the fact that we want our sukkah to have thick walls. We want to have a diras keva. We want a permanent structure. So to have a permanent structure, we need the walls to be thick, real, solid walls, concrete walls, right? If you're in your home, so as much as we like the principle of Lovid, but if you have poles that are, you know, that have two tefach gaps between the walls in your house, so it's not going to be very comfortable inside your house, even though you conceptually there's Lovid there, but it's not really a permanent structure. When you talk about a permanent structure, you want real concrete thick walls in your sukkah. And so therefore, that's the requirement for Rabbi Yoshia. So it's not that the walls of the sukkah have the status of schach. They don't intrinsically, on a conceptual level, have to provide shade. That's not the halacha. Just symbolically, we're expressing this halacha. The real halacha is that the walls have to be concrete thick walls. We're symbolically expressing that by the fact that the walls have to provide shade. Because by definition, if the walls provide shade, then you could be rest assured that you have real concrete walls. You don't have imaginary loved walls. You don't have gaps in your walls. So that is our second approach now, and then we're showing them how to explain the Shita of Rabbi Yoshia, that there's no real halacha that the wall is chach, that the walls have to provide shade. The halacha just says you need real thick concrete walls. You can't have imaginary walls. We express that symbolically by saying that the walls have to provide shade. Okay, so these are our two basic approaches here in our sugi here, as to understand Rabbi Yoshia's halacha on a conceptual level. Our first approach is the Shita of Rabbi Yad and Tosos, and seems to be Rov Rishonim, that Rabbi Yoshia is holding that the walls have the status of schach, which is why they have to function like schach. They have to provide shade because they have the status of schach. And our second approach is the Shita of the Ran, who is mashma that the walls are not schach. The schach is the roof. The walls don't intrinsically have to provide shade. We just need thick, real walls. And so we express that symbolically by saying that the walls need to provide shade. And just to say a shorthand reference to David and Yehuda, so the issue you discussed in the morning would seem to depend on this machlokstein Ran versus the Rabia and Tosis about whether the walls, how do you calculate the shade production of the walls, which seem to depend on this machlokas Rishonim. Okay, we good so far with the basic facts? Okay, so now we're going to put aside the Shita of the Ran. The Ran is not really the primary Shita in the Rishonim. It seems to be the first Shita is the main Shita Rishonim. And for the remainder of today's shir, we need to analyze the first group of the Rishonim, the Ravya and Tosfos, that the walls had a status as Chach. We need to analyze that Shita. There's significant analysis that needs to be done, and that's the goal really for the remainder of today's share. So for the rest of today's share, we're assuming that according to Rabbi Yoshia, the walls have the status of schach. That's why they have to provide shade, because conceptually they have the status of schach. Now, and we're going to have two issues now to analyze in this first group of Rishonim. The first issue we have to ask ourselves is how these Rishonim are going to explain the next piece of Gemara. The Ran had a very nice precedent to his approach. The next piece of Gemara, Abaye tells us that Rabbi Yoshia's halacha is rooted in the fact that the walls have to be, that the sukkah is a diras kavah. Sukkah is a permanent structure. And that's where the Ran said, okay, it's just a halacha that you have thick concrete walls to make it into a permanent structure. And the question we have to ask ourselves now is, so our first issue in analyzing our first group of Rishonim is, how are they going to explain this next piece of Gemara? They're telling me that the walls, it's not a halacha that you have thick walls, it's just a halacha that the walls have the status of schach, that the walls have to provide shade. So how are they going to explain this next piece of Gemara, where Abaye tells us that Rabbi Yoshi's halacha is rooted in the fact that a sukkah is a diras kava as opposed to a diras rai? That's the issue we have to understand. Anyone now want to help out the Rav Yah and the and Tosos? Not that they need our help, but just to help them out anyways for to make ourselves feel better. How do they explain this next piece of Gemara with Abaye? Okay, Shtika Kehoda. So I'm gonna present the way that Rabbi Soloveitchik once explained this. I was once discussing this issue with Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he gave a very beautiful explanation for this issue. In order to explain how these Rishonim are going to understand the next piece of Gemara, so we need to take a closer look at the general requirement for schach to provide shade. So we know we have this general halacha we discussed in the second shir of the year, that at least according to Rav Rishonim, we had a unique shita of Rabbeinu Tam back then. But according to Rav Rishonim, there's this requirement for the schach to provide shade. And we have to take a closer look of where that requirement is coming from. Where does the need for schach to provide shade come from? So, Pashup Shah, you could just say that it's an arbitrary gzeiras hakasav, that that's what schach means in halacha. The Torah's definition of schach, v'sukah tiyeh letzel, the Gemara says that the schach, in the Torah's terms, is an entity that provides shade. Maybe it's just a formal requirement. You could say such a thing. But in order to explain these Rishonim, we're going to say that that's not the case, that the need for the schach to provide shade is not just a formal, arbitrary requirement.
Rabbi's muted.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay. 1 second. Okay. So, as I was saying before Zoom kicked me off, that we're given an alternative to this requirement for the ischach to provide shade. And that is to say that maybe it's not a formal arbitrary requirement, but it's going to come from a certain concept, a certain yesod. And that is that we've discussed in the past this idea that the sukkah is not just a formal binina, it's not just a formal structure with walls and a roof on top, but it's meant to be a dira. It's meant to be a comfortable dwelling environment. That's what we saw, for example, in Daf Dalad, that if you build a sukkah with perfectly fine walls and perfectly fine schach, but it's uncomfortable, there are branches that are protruding into the living space in the sukkah, that could disqualify the sukkah because it's a diras ruha. It's an uncomfortable living environment. So the sukkah is not just a building with walls and schach, it's supposed to be a dira, a living area, a comfortable living area. So we could explain that the need for the schach to provide shade is not just an arbitrary halacha, it's meant to enhance the dira of the sukkah. It's meant to make the sukkah into a comfortable living environment. If you're in a room that's with the sun beating in from the roof and there's no shade, it's very uncomfortable. It's not a really comfortable living environment. How many people have schwitzed through their tefillin over the last 2 months because of these outdoor minyanim? You know, it's very uncomfortable to be without shade above your head. And so it could be explained that the need for shade is coming from the fact that to enhance the dira quality, the livability in the sukkah. That's what we can say to now start explaining these Rishonim. If you take that hanacha, if you take that assumption, so now we could say like this, that listen, the having shade up above is very nice, it's very comfortable. But if you have sun beating in through the sides, so lamaisa, there's still a good amount of discomfort in our sukkah. And so Rabbi Yosha is going to say that since a sukkah has to be a diras keva, a permanent structure, well, we're going to have even more shade production. To make this an even more permanent structure, a more comfortable living environment, aside from the shade from the roof up above, we need shade from the walls, right? If you're in a diras arai, if you're in a temporary dwelling, environment, you go to a tent, you go tenting in the mountains. So you understand that since it's a diras arai, there's not going to be so much shade. It might be very, very hot in your tent. When you're in your house, when you're in a permanent structure, you expect there to be a lot more shade. And so Rabbi Yoshi is saying that since the sukkah is a diras kava, this permanent structure, we need shade not just from the roof of the sukkah, we need shade from the walls. And so that's how we're going to explain Rabbi Yoshia's halacha according to these Rishonim. That yes, a sukkah is a diras kava. It's coming from this requirement for sukkah to be as kava. That's exactly why the walls are schach, because we need more shade in our sukkah to make it into a more permanent living environment. And Akiva, you said this in the morning. We were talking in the morning. Yitaka said this exact idea. You just said it very shorthand. So I'm just saying over what Akiva told me in the morning in the breakout room. Okay, so that was issue number one. Any questions?
Hey, Rabbi, this was what? This was Rabbi Yoshia's for Dira's Keva?
Yeah, meaning again, we had two general approaches in Rabbi Yoshia. Where is he coming from to have the walls screen the sun? Is it because the walls are the status of Schach? Or just because you need thick walls like the Ran? We put aside, we respectfully are putting aside the sheets of the Ran. We're dealing with the first approach that we've shown him, that the walls are the status of Schach. We're asking ourselves that if that's the case, how are they going to interpret this Gemara, which say that Rabbi Yoshia's halacha is based on a Dira's Keva idea, permanent structure idea? According to the Ran, we understand. He's just saying you need thick walls. We can understand why that makes it a Dira's Keva, permanent structure. But according to the Rav Yah, what does the wall being a schach have to do with a permanent structure? The answer Soveitchik is saying is that it has everything to do with being a permanent structure. That a permanent structure, you want some good shade, not just from up above, but from your walls as well. So that's how we're explaining this first issue that comes up in this Rishonim.
I'm just wondering though, doesn't the schach have to be the dafka not permanent?
It's not permanent in the sense that it's not nailed in, it's not boards. But when we say permanent, again, if you just, the sukkah still has to be a dira, it still has to be a comfortable area. So just having schach up above makes it just a livable area. Having walls also provide shade. That's already making it more of a permanent structure. Now we need real shade in the sukkah. But that's a good question, Yehuda. Okay, any other? Okay, so let's go over now to issue number two. The second issue we have to deal with now to round out the sugya is the following. Once again, working with these group of Rishonim that the walls of the sukkah had the status of schach. So the question we have to ask ourselves now is, so how do the dinei schach play out with the walls of the sukkah? There are various regulations that apply to our roof schach, the schach up above. And now that we're saying that the walls are the status of schach, so how do these regulations play out when it comes to the walls of the sukkah? That's the issue we have to deal with now to round out today's shir for the next 22 minutes, I guess, of today's shir. So we're gonna actually come out with three basic approaches in the Mefarshim found to understand this issue. How do the dinei schach play out with the walls of the sukkah according to Rabbi Yoshia and this general Shitas Rishonim that the walls are the status of schach? And it's going to be rooted, we're going to develop this out of a machlokas Rav Yah versus Tosfos. There's a basic machlokas Rav Yah versus Tosfos. And then we're going to split the Rav Yah into two shitas. The Sfas Emes has two interpretations of the Rav Yah, such that we're going to have three basic shitos on this issue. Two pshatim in the Rav Yah, and one pshat in Tosfos. So that's just an overview of what we're going to do. We're going to have a machlokas Tosfos versus Rav Yah. Then we're going to split the Rav Yah into two shitos based on the Sfas Emes, two interpretations, such that we're going to have three shitos on this issue, two in the Rav Yah, one in Tosfos. So let's first spell out the basic machlokas Rav Yah versus Tosfos before we get into the Sfas Emes. So as we alluded to at the beginning of the shir, the Rav Yah and Tosfos bring up the following issue. The question becomes the material requirement. We know that the schach has to be made out of certain specific materials. The schach can't be mekabel tuma and other requirements. And so the question becomes now, should the walls of the sukkah be subject to those material requirements? Do the walls now, can they not be made out of metal boards because they can't be mekabel tuma, etc.? Are the walls subject to those regulations or not? So this is a basic machlokes in the Rav Yah versus Tosfos. Starting with the shita of the Rav Yah, so the Rav Yah spells out that yes, the walls of the sukkah are going to be subject to the requirements, the material requirements, that the same materials that the roof schach needs to be made out of, now the wall schach also needs to be made out of. The walls of the sukkah cannot be mekabel tuma, etc., according to the Rav Yah. That is the shita of the Rav Yah. However, Tosfos, as interpreted by many Achronim, argues on the Rav Yah. It's a very difficult Tosfos to read. Everyone had trouble reading this Tosfos, so don't feel bad about it. On Zion and Beis, there's a big machlokes Achronim, Marshah, Marshal, Pnei Yeshua, how to read this Tosfos. What was Tosfos saying? So I'm just going to say the bottom line based on the Pnei Yeshua and the Marshal. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua afterwards, so this is how he interprets the Tosfos. The Tosfos in Zion and Beis is arguing on the Rav Yah, that the last cryptic line in Tosfos where he says that Teda, he's saying that Kulu Modu, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yoshia agrees, that the walls do not need to be made out of kosher schach material. That the walls do not need to be made out of kosher schach material. Our roof schach does. The wall schach does not. So this is a basic machlok shown now, Rav Yah versus Tosfos. How do the schach regulations play out when it comes to the walls of our sukkah? If the walls are the status of schach, they have to provide shade. So how did the material requirements play out? Rav Yehuda says that we're going to require the walls to be made out of kosher schach material, whereas Tosfos says that they do not. Tosfos, as interpreted by the Pnei Yehoshua, says that the walls do not need to be made out of kosher schach material. Now, we're not done developing the shitas now, because as I pointed out, we're now going to split the Rav Yehuda into two shitas. The Sfas Emes has a shaila in the Rav Yehuda, which is going to give us two more interpretations, two sub-interpretations in the shita of the Rav Yehuda. So let's fill out now the shaila of Sfas Emes right after Yehuda asks this question first.
A second. I just want to clarify. Tosfos, though, would hold that the wall still has to give off shade.
Yes. Tosfos agrees the walls have to provide shade, but they don't have to be made out of the same material. So we're gonna get the shitas down, and then we're going to conceptualize and try to figure out what's going on a conceptual level. Let's first get the shitas down. Okay. So now, comes along the Sfas Emes, and he raises the following issue in the shita of the Rav Yehuda. Two interpretations of the Rav Yehuda shita. We know that when it comes to our roof schach, the schach up above on our heads, so there's a certain minimum amount of schach you need on top of your head. So we discussed this once again in that second shir of this man, but just to say the bottom line of Rav Rishonim hold, you need a little bit more than 50%. You need a little bit more than 50%, what we'll call 51% schach up above, so that we know that we have enough schach for a mechitza, we have shade, we have 51% schach up above, so all the requirements of the schach will be satisfied, we'll have enough shade, we'll have a good mechitza. That's the halacha of how much schach we need on our sukkah. Ask the Sfas Emes like this. He says, now that Rabbi Yoshi is telling us that the walls are like schach, that the walls provide shade, like schach, they have the status of schach, so could the walls of the sukkah compensate for a deficiency in the schach up above? If let's say the schach up above is less than 51%, you don't have the requisite shear of schach up above, can the wall schach compensate now? If you have 49% schach up above, and you have 80% schach from the walls, though the walls are providing 80% shade, can that compensate for the schach up above? That's the shaila of the Sfas Emes. Now, the Sfas Emes indicates that working with the sheet of Tosfos, this is not going to be a shaila. Work with the sheet of Tosfos, who says that the walls chach are not subject to the classic regulations of the schach above. You don't need to make the walls chach at a kosher schach material. So clearly the walls chach is treated separately from the schach up above, and we're not going to say that the walls chach can compensate for deficiencies in the schach above. According to Tosfos, in our second shita there, who says that the walls chach does not have all the regulations of the schach above, we're not going to suggest that the walls chach can compensate for the lack of shade from the schach above. We're going to ask this in the Rav Yehuda. In the Rav Yehuda, who's saying that the wall schach is getting the classic regulations of the schach. The wall schach does need to be made out of kosher schach material. So ask the Sfas Emes, would we go so far as to say that the Rav Yehuda would even allow for the wall schach to compensate for the for a lack of shade production from the schach up above? Would we say that if it's 49% up above and you have 80% wall schach shade from the walls, that can compensate or not? Maybe yes, maybe no. That's the shaila of the Sfas Emes. So this is a sub-shaila we're having in the Rav Yehuda Shita as to how far the Rav Yehuda went when he said his shita. He's going so far as to say that the wall schach can compensate for the shade up above. It's mamish, has all the dinei schach, or perhaps not. He wouldn't go so far. Yes, the walls have to be made out of kosher schach material, but not to say that the wall schach can compensate for lack of shade up above. So with that, we've concluded the basic facts here. Now in our second issue of analysis, let's chazor over the facts, stop for a moment to take questions, and then we'll start the conceptual analysis. So just to chaz over one more time, the last issue that we're raising is, how did the dinei schach play out in terms of the wall schach according to Rabbi Yoshia? Rabbi Yoshia, according to Rav Rishonim, the Rabbi Yehuda, Tosfos are telling us that the walls are the status of schach, that's why they have to provide shade. And the question we have to now ask ourselves is, how did the dinei schach play out in the wall schach? And if you synchronize our analysis, there really are three basic shitos in the Rishonim for how to understand how did the dinei schach play out with the wall schach. Shita number one is the shita of the Rav Yehuda, according to one side in the Suffolk of the Sfas Emes. And that is to say that the wall schach has all of the dinei schach. Aside from providing shade, the wall schach has to be made out of kosher material. And maybe the wall schach can even compensate for a lack of shade up above. That if it's 49% up above, the wall schach can compensate. So that is shita number one, the Rav Yehuda, according to one side in the Suffolk of the Sfas Emes. Shita number two is the Rav Yehuda, according to the other side in the Sfas Emes. That maybe the Rav Yehuda wouldn't have gone so far. Maybe, yes, the wall schach does need kosher material, but maybe the wall schach cannot compensate for lack of schach up above. If it's 49% up above, you're done. The sukkah is no good. very nice that the walls are providing a lot of shade, 80%, 100%, it's not going to help. So that's sheet number two, the Rav Yah according to the other side in the subject of the Sfas Emes. And finally, we have sheet number three, the sheet of Tosfos. Tosfos is telling us, as interpreted by the Marshal and Pnei Yeshua, that the walls chach does not need to be made out of kosher chach material, although it does have to provide shade, but it does not have to be made out of kosher chach material. And certainly, it's not going to compensate for the schach up above. The wall schach is much more diluted. It's having its own category of status. It's not going to be able to compensate for the real schach on top of a sukkah. You certainly need 51% up above, according to Tosas and Zayin of Beis. So those are our three shittas now in our sugya here about how the wall schach, the dine schach, how the dine schach play out with the wall schach. We'll stop for 60 seconds to take questions, and then we'll start the conceptual analysis. Any questions on the facts? Okay. Crystal clear.
I was curious, Rabbi. According to Sfas Emes, I'm just wondering. I think David brought this up when we were learning. On Bezim et Aleph, Rashi said that I guess what calls a sukkah, the reason sukkah is called sukkah is because of the schach.
Okay.
But I guess it seems like in the Sfas Emes that not only the schach, but it seems like even the walls, at least in the walls, could add up with the shade of the walls, you could add up and make and compensate for the schach. But I guess what would he do with, I guess, that Rashi? It says that the schach is the main.
So that's a great point. But thankfully, we don't pass like Rabbi Yoshia. You know, after today, okay, we're going to think of walls as walls and not as schach. It's a very wild idea to view the walls as schach. So that's an excellent idea in Rashi. But that's okay. Rashi is not expected to go like a sheet in the Tanan that we don't pass like. So,
okay,
you know, Rabbi Yoshia spells out, we don't pass like Rabbi Yoshia, we pass like the Chachamim. But there's still a very nice insights that come out of this analysis. That's why we always, you know, we do every piece of Gemara. But great.
Maybe Yoshe would not fit with, okay, we're not fit. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Yeah. Look at Achdus. Yehuda's quoting David. It's mamish. Good Achdus here. Okay. So let's start. Any last second questions before we go into outer space here? Okay. So let's start the conceptual analysis. The question now becomes, what's the Hesber in this machlokus? What's the conceptual basis for all three of these shittos in terms of how the Dinei Schach play out with the Wol Schach? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. So I'm going to set it up, and let's see if someone can help us out here to analyze this. This is the way Parnas, my Rebbe, analyzed this machlokus. This is going to come down to a basic chakira now in the shitta of Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia is telling us that the walls of the sukkah had the status of schach. That's what we're in, Rabbi Shonim. The walls of the sukkah had the status of schach. Now, whenever you come across something like this, so you always have to ask yourselves now, well, now that we were just introduced to a new aspect of schach in our sukkah, aside from the roof schach, we now have wall schach. So the question you always have to ask is, what's the relationship between the wall schach and the roof schach? Right? We had schach up above. We were just introduced today to this new class of schach called the wall schach. So the question becomes, what's the relationship between the wall schach and the roof schach? So there's a room here for a three-way chakira. There are three conceptual possibilities for how to look at the relationship between the wall schach and the roof schach, and this is going to be the basis for our three shittos in the Rishon, the Rav Yah, the two Rav Yahs, and the Tosfos are going to be rooted in this three-way chakira. So can anyone now help us out and how to break down on a conceptual level the three logical possibilities for how to look at the relationship between the wall schach and the roof schach? Menachem, just to give you a hint, you once said this chakira in the second shir of the year. You made this chakira once. We should give it 60 more seconds. Okay, so I guess we'll, so it goes like this. There are three logical possibilities for how to look at the relationship between the wall schach and the roof schach. Possibility number one is to say that maybe the wall schach is viewed as a continuation of the roof schach. And maybe we conceive of this as one big mass of schach, that when Rabbi Yoshi is telling me that the walls chach, that the walls have the status of schach, what he was understanding is that the sukkah is really one big dome of schach. There's one big continuous mass of schach, starts out up above, goes across the sides. That is possibility number one. But then there's a second possibility, and that is maybe we don't conceive of it as one big mass of schach, one continuous mass of schach. Maybe it's two divisions of schach. Maybe we view the sukkah as having two separate divisions of schach. One division is the schach on our heads, and one division is the schach around us by the walls. That is the second possibility of how these two components of schach relate to each other. And finally, there's a third possibility, and that is to say Iker and Tafel. And that was what Menachem used this Chakir once in the past, Iker and Tafel. That maybe it's not just that they're two divisions of schach. Maybe the primary schach is the schach up above. That's the real Iker schach. And the wall schach is a more diluted secondary form of schach. It's not a full-fledged form of schach. It's a more diluted schach. It has the status of schach, but it's a secondary form of schach. So we have a three-way chakira now. What is the relationship between our wall schach and our roof schach? Possibility number one is that it's one big continuous mass of schach, just one big dome of schach. Possibility number two is that it's two divisions of schach, two upstanding divisions of schach. Up above is one division, on the sides is the second division. And the third possibility is the Iker and Tafel, that the schach up above is the Iker schach, and the schach around us is not just a separate division, it's a secondary low-class form of schach. So let's take this chakira now and go back to our three machlokas. We're raising an issue. How do the dinei schach play out with our wall schach? Do we apply all the regulations, some of the regulations, none of the regulations? How do they play out with the wall schach? So that's going to be rooted in this chakira. So let's go through each of the sadim and chakira and show how they play out in different approaches in the Rishon. So starting with sad number one, going to the first side in our chakira, if we explain that it's one big continuous mass of schach, that the wall schach is one big continuous mass of schach with the roof schach, so then it's going to follow, by definition, that it's going to have all the dine schach. It's just a continuation of the schach up above. So obviously it's going to have all the dine schach. Aside from the fact that it's got to provide shade, it's going to have to be kosher schach material. It's no different than the roof schach. It's the exact same thing. It's just a continuation of the roof schach. So it's going to have to be kosher schach material. And it could even compensate for the shade production up above. It's one big mass of schach. It's one big dome of schach. So we're no longer just looking up above. We look at this whole mass of schach when we calculate the shade. So yes, even if it's 49% up above, but the side can compensate. The side can give us 80%, put us over the top, and make it perfectly fine. So this is the conception behind the first side in the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah had said that the wall schach, aside from shade, has to be kosher schach material. And the Sfasema suggested that maybe it even compensates for the schach up above. It has all the regulations of the schach. That's rooted in this first conception, that it's one big mass of schach. If it's one big continuous mass of schach, then yeah, all the rules up above apply to the walls on the side, kosher schach material, and it's going to make up for the shade production up above. Let's move over now to the second side in our chakira. The second side is to say that the wall schach is still an upstanding, high-level form of schach. It's an ikker schach, but it's a separate division of schach, that we conceive of the sukkah as having two divisions of schach, one division up above on our heads, a second division around us by the walls. That's possibility number two. If you take the second logical possibility, so then we're going to come out with a middle-of-the-road approach, because on the one hand, we're still saying that the wall schach is schach in the full sense of the word. It is schach in the full sense of the word. It really should have all the dinei schach. So aside from providing shade, it's going to have to be kosher schach material. It's schach, just like the roof is schach, the walls are schach. So you have to have kosher schach material. Just since it's a separate division of schach, so we still have to assess its shade production separately. That we have two divisions of schach. We have schach up above, we have schach around us on the sides. They're separate divisions. So the schach, the shade production has to be assessed separately. The schach up above has to be 51%, and the schach from our walls will also, let's say, have to be 51%. That's what's going to come out according to the second logical possibility. And so this is the conception behind the other side in the Rav Yah. The other side in the Rav Yah, which was to say that the wall schach does have to have the kosher schach material, but maybe it doesn't compensate for the shade up above. That's to say that we have two divisions of upstanding forms of schach. The wall schach is full-fledged schach, but it's a separate division, and therefore it's got to be kosher schach material, but the shade production, they can't compensate for each other. They have to be assessed in their own terms. So that is side number two. And finally, we move over to the third side in our chakira. The third side in our chakira is to say Iker and Tafel. Then maybe the top schach is the Iker schach. That's the real schach with all the regulations. And the side schach is Tafel. It's a secondary, low-class form of schach. Now, if you go with the second conception, so now we say as follows, that when we say that the wall schach is schach, we don't mean that it's a full-fledged schach with all the dine tzchach, we mean that it provides shade. Shade is the typical primary characteristic of the tzchach. So this wall tzchach, which is the diluted tzchach, it has to provide shade. But it's not going to have all the dine tzchach. It's not a real ikar form of tzchach. The real tzchach is up above. The side, the walls, they have a status of tzchach. They have a we'll classify them as tzchach. But it's a low-class secondary form of tzchach. It doesn't need all the dine tzchach. And certainly, if it's not real tzchach, it can't compensate for the shade up above. The shade up above, when we say the tzchach is fried shade, well, it's in its own class. It's in its own category, the shade up above. So certainly the tzchach up above has to provide shade in and for itself. We cannot use the wall tzchach to compensate. So this is the conceptual analysis of the sheet of Tosfos. Tosfos Lafida Pnei Yeshua, who's saying that the wall tzchach does not need to be kashas tzchach material, and certainly would not compensate for the shade up above. He's holding like the third side of Iker and Tafel, that the wall tzchach is a diluted form of tzchach, so we just need the Iker point. The Iker point is the shade. But beyond the shade, all of the other dine tzchach do not apply to the wall tzchach, they only apply to the tzchach up above. So we took this beautiful three-way chakira, and we showed how this three-way machlokis is tully on this three-way chakira. And with that, we've concluded today's shir. So I'm just going to quickly summarize, and then we can stop for 30 seconds just to take questions. So just to sum up, our issue today was to analyze Rabbi Yoshia Shita and the Gemara here on Zayin Amud Beis. Rabbi Yoshia is telling us that the walls have to screen the sun, as you learn out from the Parochas. We had two basic approaches in Rabbi Yoshia. The first approach was the Shita of Rav Yah and Tosfos. They spoke about applying the Dine Schach to the walls. So clearly they hold that the walls have the status of Schach. That was the Yisod we extracted from them. They hold that the walls have the status of Schach, and that's why the Schach has the walls have to provide shade. Whereas the Ran, where Medayik Arigin says that no, there's not a halacha that the walls are schach, the schach is up above. Just you need thick walls. We need a diras kava, we need a permanent structure, we need thick walls. We symbolically express that by saying the walls have to provide shade, as that's going to give us thick walls. And then we put aside the sheet of the Ran, and we focused on the first group of Rishonim, assuming that the walls do have the status of schach. We asked ourselves two issues. We analyzed two issues. The first issue was, how are these Rishonim going to explain the Gemara with the Baya about Sukkah being a diras kava? If a sukkah is a permanent structure, what does that have to do with the walls having a status as schach? So we explain based on our Soloveitchik that the yisod is that schach, when schach provides shade, it's not just the formal requirement, it's in order to enhance the dira, to enhance the living environment in the sukkah. And so therefore, Rabbi Yoshi is saying, well, if this is a permanent dira, you need a lot of shade. It will be a temporary dira, so we can be okay with a little shade up above. But if it's a permanent dira, we want shade from the walls as well. And so yes, these Rishonim are coming from the idea that sukkah is a dira's kava. And then in issue two, we analyzed how do the dine tzchach play out to our wall tzchach. We had three basic shittos. The Rav Yah, according to one sound, Sfas Emes, says that out of all the regulations, it's kosher tzchach material, it compensates for the shade up above. Second shita was the Rav Yah, according to the other side, and this Sfas Emes, that it has to be kosher tzchach material, but maybe it doesn't compensate for the shade up above. And the third shita was the shita of Tosos, that it doesn't have any of the regulations, does not have to be kosher tzchach material, and does not compensate up above. We showed how it came down to the three-way chakira. What's the relation between the wall schach and schach above? Is it one continuous mass of schach? Is it two divisions of schach? Or is it ikker and tafel? The schach above is the ikker. The schach on the sides is tafel. Just for our Mivaserik guys, so I remember when our partners gave this shir like 13 years ago, many years ago, so Rabbi Berg was in America. So he visited us just for this shir. So he for a throwback to the olden days. So our partners asked him afterwards what he thought. Rabbi Berg said, it's the main olm haba, just like the olden days. Classic Rapparnas analysis. Any last second questions before we continue? We end? Okay. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Thank you very much for joining us today. Have a fantastic weekend. Shkayach.
Thank you.
Shkayach.